Good evening, everyone. This is August 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's the Committee of Safety. Take it away.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Tonight, I'm going to talk about private membership associations and their importance, which is absolutely a rocker. Before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about current events because of what's going on. And so what I'm going to do right, and it's the subject here, is to keep your cool and remain neutral. And this is something I wrote a couple of weeks back. It's with every day, every hour, every minute that goes by, this becomes even more and more important. So recently, I finally understood in a real and personal way the value of remaining neutral. My perspective is that of an infinite sovereign being. I have learned just how long I have been around, more or less. That knowledge was most overwhelming, but I was prepared. We benefit greatly from even the smallest effort in our spiritual work. I have, am now, and will continue my own spiritual work. The payoff to date has been astounding and fun. When I truly understood how long I have been in service and what some of my abilities are, I then understood the power of, the benefits of, remaining neutral. I've seen most, if not all, of this dark side crap before. And when I say that, I mean everything that you hear on TV, on the news, in the radio, in most of the mainstream, on all of your Facebook groups. I've seen all of this dark side crap before. There is no point, no upside, to being sucked into the drama. We will experience emotional responses from what we observe. We're human. That's what we do. How we are wired. Nothing wrong with that. But when our emotions overpower us, we lose perspective. Self-discipline is our tool to prevent losing perspective. Self-discipline keeps us focused, keeps us neutral. No matter what we observe, experience, hear about, or read, remain as neutral as possible. We are more powerful, more effective if we remain neutral. Outcomes of any possible planetary scenario are affected by, shaped by, created or destroyed by our human collective consciousness. And it is my view the human collective consciousness is a fickle creature, meaning any given scenario can turn on a dime. We've all seen it happen many times before. Remaining neutral helps events move toward the highest possible outcome. From a neutral position, we can see it clearly. We can correctly interpret events. It is from this position we can take positive, meaningful action. We have a better chance of getting it right the first time. Remaining neutral now is more important than ever. As if we weren't bombarded enough already with dark side crap, it is worse now that the shift is underway. The dark side is throwing everything they got at us now. Remaining neutral ensures that crap won't work, and this ends sooner than later. So let's all help make it sooner. And in part, with that passage that I wrote, this actually directly applies to our committees of safety because we're basically, in a way, saying the same thing, which is remain focused on your county. It's your county agencies, your county officials, your county neighbors, your county friends and family that are important. If you are still using terms like Republican and Democrat, rich versus poor, Muslim versus Christian, immigrant versus outsider, you are clueless. You are absolutely clueless. You don't get it yet. And so that ties back into what I'm talking about with remaining neutral. We see all this crap on the news every day, which, by the way, I told you is all in Pawns in the Game. Everything you see is all there in that book. Don't get sucked in. Lately, we've got all this horse hockey going on, you know. Excuse me, but the cabal's been running people over in crowds with vehicles for what, 6-7 months now? Hey, wake up. So this is nothing new. Don't get sucked into that. And stay focused on your county. And as I've said so many times before, those of us on this call are the ones that are going to stand up and take leadership positions when this shift occurs. your neighbors, your friends, your fire department, your police department, your school board, your church. They're going to turn to you because you know what's going on. You knew this was coming. And if you remain neutral, if you don't get sucked into all the sweep of screaming, holy hell, about all this crap I just mentioned a moment ago that is irrelevant, you'll maintain a cool head and people will respect you for it, and you'll be able to lead them in the direction that you need to take them. And so that's why I bring up the concept of neutrality. Okay, so I'm done with that. And now I'm going to shift into private membership associations. It dawned on me my last Wednesday night's tri-state call that our most knowledgeable, our most active, our most experienced members are absolutely clueless of private membership associations. And I got to tell you, this really pissed me off. I was hot. And, well, you know, after you calm down, get the emotions out, like, well, what am I going to do about it? Well, what I'm going to do about it is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to discuss it so that you hear it. This is absolutely imperative, absolutely rock solid important for your committees of safety. Your committees of safety have to be aware of this. Otherwise, you end up being a dog chasing his tail, like the most knowledgeable, most experienced members that were on this call last Wednesday. So I'm going to grab your attention right up front, and I'm going to tell you point blank, there is not one person on this call that currently possesses a driver's license that was issued by the state you live in. I'm going to repeat that. There is no one on this call who currently possesses a driver's license that was issued by the state you live in. And now we begin what a private membership association is. All 50 states belong to a private membership association, and they contract that work out. And that association is called the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. And that is where you get your driver's license. So now I'm going to explain to you what a private membership association is, and I did post that this document is available on Facebook in the files section of the Investigative Research Committee page group, and in our National Liberty Alliance Illinois Facebook group as well. So if you want to go on over there and grab it and pull it up, that's great, but that's where they are. I still haven't figured out a way to upload Word docs and PDFs to the National Liberty Alliance website, and I'll figure that out eventually. But for those that are new on this call, we do have the Investigative Research Committee on Facebook, and we also have National Liberty Alliance-Illinois. And I encourage you to join both of those Facebook groups and pay attention, because a lot of good information is shared on there. And those of you that have heard this before and haven't done so, shame on you, because this information is as vetted as is possible in this world. And you can save yourself a lot of time and grief if you have a particular subject, and it may be in our files section. So please avail yourself of those groups, and don't forget to check the files. So what I'm about to read is basically related to the medical profession and holistic healers and all that. But the gist of what is shared here is the same, and it applies to everybody. And it explains to you how the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators issue your driver's license through a private membership association and not the state. You can now legally practice your profession in a properly formed 1st, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 14th Amendment Private Membership Association. This means that your association is outside the jurisdiction and authority of all state and federal agencies and law enforcement authorities. I'm going to read that again, because this is what it's all about. This means that your association is outside the jurisdiction and authority of all state and federal agencies and law enforcement authorities. And right now, because it was the topic of last Wednesday, I'm going to throw in the National Governors Association. This right is not absolute, but your association would have to be operating in the realm of a clear and present danger of substantive evil in order to trigger even an investigation. That is the only rule that you can break to get yourself in trouble with a private membership association. Is you would have to be operating in the realm of a clear and present danger of substantive evil in order to trigger even an investigation. So I hope with those last two statements, you understand how astronomically important what I'm about to cover is. In other words, there should be no concern of being subject to an injunction or criminal charges of practicing medicine without a license by law enforcement when practicing your profession within a private health or medical membership association with only private members, not public patients or clients. In order to understand why a private health or medical membership association should work for you, a couple of legal principles need to be understood. First, an understanding of the difference between a mala in se crime and a mala prohibita crime is important. A mala in se crime is a crime or evil in itself. For example, murder, rape, bank robbery, etc., even under common law. A mala prohibita crime is not a crime in itself, but is only a crime because a state legislature or federal Congress makes it a crime for the public welfare. For example, a federal government or a state may decide to license a certain profession that was legal to do before licensing. After the licensing statute, a person who conducts that profession without a license could be charged with a felony criminal offense for practicing without a license. In the public domain, a person who advises another of his legal rights has been infringed and refers him to a particular attorney has committed a mala prohibita felony crime in the state of Virginia. But in the private domain of a First Amendment legal membership association, the state, in the domain of these indispensable liberties, whether of association, the decisions of this court recognize that abridgment of such rights occurred. That's from NAACP versus Button. The modes of association protected by the 1st and 14th are modes which Virginia may not prohibit. In other words, a private mode or domain is protected and is a different domain than a public domain. But was a mala prohibita felony crime act in the public domain becomes a legally protected act in the private domain or private association. Now you know why these guys are getting away with this stuff. A mala in se crime is not legally protected in the private domain or private association. That means you can practice almost anything without a license within your properly formed private membership association of private members. The only exception is if your association practices, promotes, or proposes a clear and present danger of substantive evil. Also, the private domain is referred to as a sanctuary from unjustified interference by the state in Pierce versus the Society of Sisters, and as a constitutional shelter in Roberts versus United States, and again in a shield in Roberts versus United States. In addition, the U.S. Supreme Court in Thomas versus Collins specifically refers to the domain set apart for free assembly. The First Amendment right to association creates a preserve, and that's from Baird versus Arizona. The private domain of an association is a sanctuary, constitutional shelter, shield, and domain set apart, and a preserve according to a number of U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Again, your properly formed private membership association of private members is in the private domain with the protection of numerous favorable U.S. Supreme Court decisions with no decisions to the contrary to date. The 1st, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 14th Amendments, private membership associations, while not explicitly defined in the Constitution, The Supreme Court has acknowledged that certain implicit rights, such as association, privacy, and presumed innocence, share constitutional protection in common with explicit guarantees, such as free speech. Specifically, the Supreme Court has described the right to associate as inseparable from the right to free speech. The right of association under the Constitution was heavily litigated in the 50s and 60s, and members' rights were consistently upheld by the court. In fact, the right of association becomes a cornerstone of the civil rights movement. In general, members of a private membership association do not fall under the jurisdiction of local, state, and federal governments, ding, 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 and corresponding laws and regulations. The exception to this general rule is when the activities of the private membership associates present a clear and present danger of substantive evil. Of interest, a private association was even used for purposes of discrimination, as evidenced by a recent case involving the Boy Scouts of America. A simple example of the use of the right to associate to avoid local laws is drinking clubs. Since prohibition was repealed in 1933, regulation of the alcoholic beverage industry was delegated to individual states. Some states, such as Texas, allow individual counties and cities to govern the sale of alcohol. As a result, 46 of Texas's 254 counties are dry, meaning that the sale of alcohol is forbidden. However, by joining a private drinking club, members are able to sell alcohol to other members, even though local law prohibits this activity. Consumption of alcohol is neither illegal nor has it been deemed counter to society's general interest, particularly in the realm of the First and 14th Amendment Association. It is important to note that the right to associate is not limited to social or political activities. This right can be utilized for business activities. And remember, all municipal corporations that people mistakenly call governments are corporations. This right can be utilized for business activities. For example, the sale of alcohol. Members of a private membership association, like the National Governors Association, have the right to private contract under the Due Process Liberty Clause of the 5th and 14th Amendments, and states may not pass laws that impair the obligation of a contract. In conclusion, under the 5th, 1st, and 14th Amendments, we are granted due process. Yet we must also look at the 14th Amendment, which guarantees that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protections of the laws. We must also look at the Ninth Amendment, which guarantees certain inalienable rights to every man, woman, and child. Those inalienable rights include not only the freedom of life, liberty, property, speech, assembly, and due process, but any right or freedom which is not specifically given by the Constitution to the government. If the Constitution does not assign a specific right or freedom to the government, then we will all have that particular right or freedom. And that happens to be a maxim of law. If it doesn't say so, it ain't. Those freedoms include the right of self-determination, homeschooling, choice of suppliers of products and or services, choice of lifestyle, food, drink, and any right or freedom that does not infringe on the rights and freedoms of others or is a threat. In a private membership association, the members have all the rights and privileges not specifically banned by the association unless they present a clear and present danger of substantive evil. To understand the legal foundation for this approach, it is helpful to examine the ways in which this approach might be challenged. This approach is typically challenged in two ways. The first objection is a substance over form argument that states that this approach utilizes association rights for the purposes of avoiding federal or state laws and regulations. While this is a true statement, the ability of an association to do this is well established. The Supreme Court has stated that a state cannot foreclose the exercise of constitutional rights by mere labels. In other words, The label of just avoiding state regulation is not permissible. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm going to read that again. The label of just avoiding state regulation is not permissible. So it's okay to avoid state regulation with a private membership association. Ding, ding, ding. Furthermore, the members of a private association have the right to contract with each other and conduct business activities, provided that those activities are not of a nature as to create a clear and present danger that they will bring about the substantive evils. That's what came up last Wednesday night when people were arguing back and forth about National Governors Association. Oh, it's the politicians that give the money. Oh, it's the Muslims that give the money. Oh, it's the Arab countries. It doesn't frickin' matter. They're a private association. Any member can give money to that association. This is where these people are clueless, and that is hugely important in my mind. Again, the general rule is that when a private membership association does not raise to the threshold level of a clear and present danger of substantive evil, federal and state government authorities and agencies may not interfere with the activities of the association. Remember, I just read all of the Supreme Court rulings supporting this. The second objection is the assertion that association rights are limited to free speech and advocacy rather than actions, specifically business activity. The objection that some persons have for utilizing the First and 14th Amendment private association for a private association was that association rights were limited to association free speech advocacy, not association actions. First, let us analyze this objection from reasoned and practical perspective. Free speech advocacy can exist outside of the private association. Considering the context of the association, if free speech is all that can be exercised within the private association, what need would there be to have a private association? The answer is that there would be no need because, again, free speech needs no private association to operate. The U.S. Supreme Court decisions quoted below clearly teach that private association rights are not limited to free speech advocacy, but to private association actions and activities beyond free speech. The U.S. Supreme Court stated that in the political realm, as in the academic, thought, a.k.a. speech, and action beyond speech, are presumptively immune, protected from inquisition, illegal attack, by political authority, government. Isn't that sweet? You guys should be getting the picture now on how these mucks are getting away with this crap. The U.S. Supreme Court stated that abstract discussion is not the only species of communication which the Constitution protects vigorous advocacy, certainly of lawful ends against government intrusion. The vigorous advocacy here is the action or activity of actual litigation or the actual filing and follow-up of lawsuits. The U.S. Supreme Court further stated that in the context of NAACP objectives, litigation is not a technique of resolving private differences. It is a means for achieving equality of treatment. Note that the court referred to litigation as a technique, not free speech. Again, the court stated that we need not subsume such activity under a narrow, literal conception of freedom of speech. The U.S. Supreme Court has again stated, we have deemed privilege protected under certain circumstances the efforts of a union official to organize workers. The general rule is that when a private membership association does not raise to the threshold level of a clear and present danger of substantive evil, federal and state governmental authorities and agencies may not interfere with the activities of the association. Second objection is the assertion that association rights are limited to free speech and advocacy rather than action, specifically business activity. The objection that some persons have for utilizing the First and 14th Amendment private association for private association was that association rights were limited to associations, free speech, advocacy, and and not association actions. The U.S. Supreme Court stated that abstract discussion is not the only species of communication which the communication, which the Constitution, excuse me, protects vigorous advocacy, certainly of lawful ends, against government intrusion. The vigorous advocacy here is the action or activity of actual litigation or the actual filing and follow-up of lawsuits. So now you get some idea of why the courts keep dropping our lawsuits, because you're going after private membership associations when you think they're public agencies. There you go. The U.S. Supreme Court further stated that in the context of NAACP objectives, litigation is not a technique of resolving anything. Okay, so now we're going to move on here. Furthermore, the members of a private association have the right to contract with each other and conduct business activities, provided that those activities are not of a nature as to create a clear and present danger that will bring about substantive evil. The U.S. Supreme Court decisions quoted below clearly demonstrate that. The U.S. Supreme Court has again stated, we have deemed privileged under certain circumstances the efforts of the union official. There we go, because I lost my place. Again, note that the actions of litigation controlled by laymen and a person organizing workers outside the First and 14th Amendment private association would be illegal with criminal or quasi-criminal penalties and or sanctions. Apparently, a person would be mistaken in his objection that private association rights are limited to free speech advocacy and do not include private association actions. The only question remaining is whether litigation and organizing workers are analogous to performing association services. The answer to that question is another question. Outside of the licensing and regulation jurisdictional context, are association services a lawful activity? The answer is yes, of course. The state and federal government, in its sovereign capacity, is vested with police power, which includes the power to protect the public. Note that a private member was not included. The exercise of the police power is available only for the purpose of promoting the interests of the public, as distinguished from those of individuals or private persons. The First and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution give the individual the right to free speech, free expression, and free assembly, which includes freedom of association against state police power except for special circumstances. Those guarantees of the Bill of Rights, which are fundamental safeguards of liberty immune from federal abridgment, are equally protected against state invasion and therefore made immune from state invasion. Our First Amendment's freedoms of speech, assembly, and association. Also, the rights of freedom of speech were coupled in a single guarantee with the rights of the people peaceable to assembly. Remember, this is the U.S. Supreme Court talking here. In addition, the court held that the membership lists of the very type here in question to be beyond the state's power of discovery. The First Amendment does not protect speech and assembly only to the extent it can be characterized as political. And the rights of free speech and free association are not confined to any field of human interest. The idea is not sound, therefore, that the First Amendment safeguards are wholly inapplicable to business or economic activity. In other words, the freedom of association is applied to business and other economic activities, such as advertising and marketing associations, which explains quite clearly how the Congress has passed laws saying that the news media can lie to us. There you go. Now you know where it came from. In a properly formed private membership association, members of that association, both professional and non-professional, are protected from state and federal government interference by the 1st, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution. They are also protected by the entire Constitution and the common law supporting the same. Furthermore, members are protected in Canada under Section 2 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and Canadian common law, protecting members of peaceful assembly associations. So he gets into some of the benefits of a PMA, and I'm just going to stop for a moment and say I have been contemplating getting a PMA going for all us NLA members, and by now you should understand why. So probable benefits. You can operate an advertising or marketing association outside the jurisdiction and authority of federal and state governments and agencies involving advertising and marketing association activities. You can maintain greater privacy in financial and business affairs of your advertising and marketing association activities. Greater security of being able to continue operation in a world of changing laws and politics. Well, that's a biggie for those of us in the NLA that are speaking truth to power and getting hammered and dragged into court. Increased profits due to unrestricted and beneficial structuring and strategies not available to regulated advertising and marketing associations. Instead of conducting business under a legal loophole, operate under a legal exemption decided by the supreme law of the land, i.e. the Supreme Court decisions interpreting the U.S. Constitution. And I bring up those commercial activities because I reflect back again that all municipal corporations, a.k.a. governments, are that. They are for-profit corporations that are operating tax-free. And so every one of those things that I just read applies to your local municipal corporation. So in conclusion, members of a private membership association have more rights to accomplish their personal goals and objectives within that association than they do in public life. Professional members of a properly formed private membership association formed for any legal purpose have more rights and freedom to pursue their personal goals and objectives for helping their clients within the association than they typically would have under most government-controlled regulatory schemes. If you need more freedom to do what you want to do with your life or any part of your life, a private membership association may help you accomplish your goal. At least a private membership association deserves your consideration. Okay, so that pretty much takes care of that. All right, so in review, it should be shocking to all of you by now that the driver's license are issued by a private membership association. The senators and congressmen belong to private membership associations. The judges belong to private membership associations. The frickin' bar is a private membership association. Blah, 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 blah. And this is how they're getting away with the immunity clause. Rod Class did a good job statutorily destroying the immunity clause. There is no such thing as immunity. But yet, when you're operating under a private membership association, the judge throws out your case. They say because it doesn't have merit or they have immunity, what the judge is really saying is that who you went after in the way of a public official belonged to a private membership association. And that's where it gets into the usurpation of the private membership association. So these dirtbags can get away with what they're getting away with. Now, I've thought about this quite a bit. And so the way to do this is to prove that they had intent to do evil. Well, I think everybody should get a chuckle out of that because they're all intent on doing evil to all of us all of the time. They're defrauding us. They're robbing us. They're depriving us of their rights. They're killing or stealing our children. They're poisoning our food, air, and water. I don't know about your definition, but to me, that is defined as evil. And so I bring to your attention for your committees of safety the existence of these private membership associations, the fact that they